I was meeting this morning in the interest of reviewing the events of the past week and to gain a biblical, godly perspective on what has taken place. So I come this morning with the subject of the origin of evil, or we could say the cause of evil. This is particularly important because of the feeble attempts of the journalists and the clergy of America to answer the question of how is God involved. So I hope that after our discussion it will become clear to us that God is almighty and sovereign and that he is here. So let's just plunge right in, and I'd like to start by looking at some passages of Scripture together. So those who are listening by tape, if you want to get your Bible out, it would be good to look at these passages with us. First of all, Isaiah chapter 43. Now, if you haven't had opportunity recently, let me suggest to you strongly that you read Isaiah chapters 40 through 57 and just soak in the grandeur and the majesty and the glory of God about what he says about himself and who he is. So we'll begin at Isaiah 43, verse 10. In Isaiah 43:10, we read, "You are my witnesses, says the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, that you may know and believe me and understand that I am he. Before me there was no God formed, nor shall there be after me. Even I am the Lord, and besides me there is no Savior. I have declared and saved, I have proclaimed, and there was no foreign God among you. Therefore, you are my witnesses, says the Lord God, says the Lord, that I am God. Indeed, before the day was, I am he. And there is no one who can deliver out of my hand. I work, and who will reverse it?" And across the page in Isaiah 44, verses 6 and 7. Isaiah 44, 6 and 7. "Thus says the Lord, the King of Israel, and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts, I am the first, and I am the last. Besides me there is no God, and who can proclaim as I do?" And keep going in Isaiah 45, verses 5 through 7. Isaiah 45, 5 through 7. "I am the Lord, and there is no other. There is no God besides me. I will gird you, though you have not known me, that you may know from the rising of the sun to its setting that there is none besides me. I am the Lord, and there is no other. I form the light and create darkness. I make peace and create calamity. I, the Lord, do all these things." Now in verse 7, some translations will say, "I make peace and create evil. I, the Lord, do all these things." Now, let's find Daniel chapter 4. So we go Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations, Ezekiel, Daniel. Daniel chapter 4, verses 34 and 35. And the setting of this is that Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, which is where Iraq is today, and he has been, in a sense, the ruler of the world. And he's been a proud king, and God set him back, and now God has caused him to recover, and this is his testimony. Daniel 4:34. At the end of the time of his suffering, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted my eyes to heaven. My understanding returned to me, and I blessed the Most High and praised and honored him who lives forever. For his dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is from generation to generation. All the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. He does according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. No one can restrain his hand or say to him, "What have you done?" Here is the most proud man on earth caused to give such tribute to the Lord. Well, let's just look at one more passage in the New Testament, Ephesians. And we go Romans, 1st, 2nd Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, chapter 1. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. So you've got G, E, P, C. Gentiles eat pork chops. No. Ephesians 1:11. And we'll just pick it up at the verse. In whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will. Now we're really getting into the question, is God in everything or some things? Or how does that work? And so we need to know this, and we need to be able to talk to people who are so confused and in such a quandary and just have no hope. Let's bow for prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you that you have taught us to see you in your absolute sovereignty, and that you've caused us to believe in that and worship you. And we pray this morning as we study together that you will reveal yourself to us in a way that enables us to understand history and the events of the past week in our country, and to be able to trust you with the ultimate outcome. Let your presence be in our hearts this morning, and bless each of us in Jesus' name. Amen. So we'll get right to it with the first question. What is the origin of evil? Now, we're tackling what may be the most deep and controversial theological question in the history of man. People have argued this and have had several opinions, and it's still a sort of a battle being waged today. What is the origin of evil. The first evil was the rebellion of Lucifer. Lucifer was a created angel, probably highest in rank, and became filled with pride. Now, you don't need to turn to it, but let me read to you the basic passage that reveals the sin of Lucifer. It's in Isaiah chapter 14, and it reveals what he said in his heart as he lifted himself up in pride. Isaiah 14. If you want to turn to it, it's fine. And beginning at verse 12. Isaiah 14, verse 12. How you are fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning. Now, Lucifer means day star. How you are fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning. How you are cut down to the ground, you who weakened the nation. For you have said in your heart, and notice these I wills, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will also sit on the mount of the congregation on the farther sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet you shall be brought down to Sheol, to the lowest depths of the pit. Well, here is the origin of evil. Lucifer, the beautiful angel, lifted up his heart in pride and wanted to be God, wanted to be like God, wanted to be worshipped. Pride is the central sin and rebellion of the origin of evil. Now, the second evil was the rebellion of Adam and Eve. And this is well known to us from Genesis 3. And it's the same sin, pride. So here is the instances of evil in the universe. What is the origin? Satan, Adam and Eve. This has affected all of us. So the second question is, what is God's role in evil? Is he a spectator and helpless? Is he involved? Just how does that work? All right, let's look at that. God created angels and humans capable of the desire and the act of rebelling. Now, he could have created angels and us in a far different way, so that we weren't even capable of sinning or would never even have the desire. But he did this. He created angels and humans capable of rebelling against him. Secondly, God placed Satan and Adam and Eve in the garden together at the same time. So God bears the responsibility for his creation and the placement of his creatures. He did this. It wasn't somebody else. Fourthly, God put the tree in the garden. God put that temptation there. So does he have a role? Yes. The third question is, what or who originated the sin? With regard to Lucifer, in Ezekiel 28 it says of Lucifer, your heart was lifted up because of your beauty. You corrupted your wisdom for the sake of your splendor. You have said in your heart, I will be like the Most High. Lucifer's sin came from within him through pride and vanity. That's the origin of his sin, from within him. Now, secondly, Adam and Eve. And we know this story, so we'll just review it. Eve was tempted to defy God's authority. He said, do not eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Do not. But she looked at them. And then she longed for it, for what it might do for her. So she took the fruit and ate and gave it to her husband. Adam and Eve sinned out of their desire to be equal with God, to gain his knowledge. So it's pride. The origin of evil comes out of the heart of Lucifer, Adam and Eve, and all of us through pride. But God is involved. And now we'll see what God did. And the question is, did God cause the sin, or did he just allow it? Did God cause the destruction of the Twin Towers, or did he allow it? I haven't heard anybody say he caused it. One C there. He caused it to happen by giving his creatures the capability of rebellion, which he didn't have to do. So he's vitally involved. He caused it. He allowed it in the sense that the rebellion arose within the creatures. He gave the angels and the humans a mind to think and a heart to decide. Now we have a problem with causing or allowing. And here's where people get emotionally involved and crippled, so that they cannot think of anything but that God is lovey-dovey and that's all he is, and that God would never be involved in tragedy or calamity or catastrophe or illness or death or any problem. That just isn't biblical. The problem with it. Now, if we say that God caused the sin, then to most people that makes God himself sinful, and they can't tolerate that. Now, I've seen people just wilt under that thought. Can't be. If we say God allowed it, we make God a passive spectator who could not control the creatures.
3. Neither position can be isolated, but must be viewed together. God bears a real part in the entrance of sin, but it was the creatures who sinned, not God. God controls everything. God brings about all things. And God uses sin and evil. My personal conviction. God is so great that he can both allow and cause sin and yet not be intimidated by the rebellion. God is so great, so wise, and so powerful that he can cause sin and yet be pure and holy within himself. I rest in his sovereignty and bow my heart in worship, even though I can't answer all the questions.